Entonces, bueno, al pasar de esto, se está preguntando.
Okay, we will continue with our next speaker. Our next speaker is Sol Apaphisio. She's a psychoanalyst as well, AME of the EBFCL. She teaches psychoanalysis at the Psychoanalytic Clinical College of Paris, and she is a current president of the EBFCL France. She publishes also regularly in collective publications and publications of the forums. So please.
Good afternoon. So I have titled my paper, Side Notes to Freud's Conference on the Question of Weltanschauung. When I first read the title of this conference, Theory and Practice in Psychoanalysis, two remarks of that conference came to my mind. The first one is something he said in 69. There certainly is, I'm quoting, a theory of analytic practice, but this does not mean that it is a theory of the unconscious. He explained that the theory of analytic practice only gives us what can be caught of the unconscious in the field of its practice. So he left apparently open the possibility of there being an access to the unconscious elsewhere. Later on, he asserted that psychoanalysis is not a science, it's a practice. There followed this, for me, astonishing question. Is there a theory of analysis? To which Lacan nevertheless answered, yes. So, asserting that psychoanalysis is a practice leaves unanswered the question about its status, the scientific status of its theory, as much as the social status of a profession newly arrived in history, as Lacan put it in 76. One cannot really say that this was a question for Freud, who had already made his mind. He had made his choice, I would say. Psychoanalysis could be nothing but a science, a branch of science. Still, it certainly was a major concern for Freud. He needed to demonstrate it, prove it, discuss about it. Nobody was willing to take it for granted. Freud's 1932 conference on the question of a Weltanschauung gives us a good example of this. It tackles numerous questions that have to do with psychoanalysis status and which were subsequently developed by Lacan. They all seem to me to converge on the following issue: the close connection between or the intertwinement of scientific requirements and ethics. Don't science and ethics come across one another in their common concern with the real? This is what I wish to speak to you about. Weltanschauung is a German word coming from the German philosophic 19th century language. There is no wonder in seeing Freud refer to it. He himself presents it as a specifically German concept, difficult to translate into other languages. Before going on to propose the following definition, I'm quoting Freud. A Weltanschauung is an intellectual construction which solves all the problems of our existence uniformly on the basis of one overriding hypothesis, which accordingly leaves no question unanswered, and in which everything that interests us finds its fixed place. End of quote. Freud then adds a brief comment which expresses straight off his point of view. I'm quoting again. It will easily be understood that the possession of a Weltanschauung of this kind is among the ideal wishes of human beings. These intellectual constructions may be derived from different sources of knowledge, such as revelation, intuition, or divination, says Freud. Thus, they have nothing to do with the scientific approach, which is exclusively based on research, and will accept no sources of knowledge of the universe other than the intellectual working over of carefully scrutinized observations. The hypothesis on which a Weltanschauung bases itself, then, offers a uniform explanation. It is one and overriding. It provides a master signifier. Be it a philosophical, religious, or of political nature, it satisfies the demand arising from the speaking being's helplessness. That is always a demand for meaning. In this sense, in Freudian terms, it's an illusion, the fulfillment of a wishful impulse. We can see here how any Weltanschauung basing itself on such a hypothesis will tend to set up a master's discourse. Freud perceived this clearly when he examined, at the end of his conference, theoretical Marxism as realized in Russian Bolshevism. Although originally built up upon science, Marx's theory has later become a Weltanschauung, says Freud, and has created a prohibition of thought which is just as breathless as was that of religion in the past. The prohibition of thought is, as we know, Freud's main reproach towards religion. Once he has put forward his definition, Freud states his point of view concerning the possibility of a psychoanalytic Weltanschauung. Psychoanalysis does not lead to any particular Weltanschauung. For psychoanalysis, it can only be a matter of sharing the scientific one. So psychoanalysis stands on the side of science. It does so, first of all, inasmuch as it has made a contribution to science by having extended research to the mental field, says Freud, and because it consequently submits itself to science's requirements. Secondly, this implies that psychoanalysis finds itself in opposition to art, religion, and philosophy. The products of art and the systems of religion and philosophy are, in fact, wishful fulfillments of the demand for meaning. Like science, psychoanalysis takes note of the fact that the human mind produces these demands and is ready to examine its sources, but it does not regard them as justified. In other words, it will not satisfy them by supplying an answer. No answer can be supplied where knowledge resulting from research has none to offer. The importance of Freud's conference on the question of Weltanschauung can be measured if we consider what has followed in Lacan's teaching from the many issues it deals with. The concept of Weltanschauung may certainly seem a bit out of date today. After Gödel and Kantic physics, I would say, have brought into question old logics and cosmology. But we may notice how Lacan himself kept on dealing with those issues once and again. Let us mention, for example, Freud's critical examination on religion. He had dedicated to it, besides other minor writings, his book on totem and taboo. And while writing the essays on Moses and monotheism, he declares in this conference that of the three powers which may dispute the basic position of science, religion alone is to be taken seriously as an enemy. It is well known, I think, for Lacan readers, that Lacan paid very serious attention to the matter of religion, and that he disagreed with some of Freud's points of view. Yet, in the 1974 Rome press conference, his standpoint finally consisted in insisting on religion's probable triumph over psychoanalysis on behalf of its capacity to give meaning to the real. And this is precisely, strictly speaking, what Freud denounced